So I think we're expecting a few more people, but we'll let them come. And in the meantime, we can get started. I am a TCK, and I'm married to a non-TCK. And that's the beginning. And I love this topic of marriage. I feel like in the TCK world, so often we talk about pre-field, we talk about what it's like for the kids, maybe raising TCKs for parents, and then we talk about transition. But what happens after? We're left with our stories. What happens after? So I would love to hear from you why you decided on this workshop. What brought you here? And I know some of you are married, some of you are not married. Thank you. And some of you have been married for a long time and could be up here doing this workshop. Thank you for coming, because it means you're still open and willing to learn more. Why did you choose this workshop?
Our oldest daughter is in the same position as you. So she's been married 4 years, TCK, married to a non-TCK. So they are doing a great job making that work, but I've come for them to see if there's anything else I can help in supporting them in that relationship.
Great, super. Anyone else? Where are you coming back to this workshop?
Why am I coming back? I am not a TCK, but I raised two TCKs, and they are having special relationships by now, and they struggle with it, and I can see some of the things going on. I just want to learn and understand a little bit better.
Super. Yeah.
And I'm here to support you.
Oh, yes, yes, awesome. Yeah.
I'm a TCK, and I got married to a non-TCK 8 months ago.
Okay.
So very new to TCKs in marriage.
Awesome. Great. How about at the back here?
No, I'm a TCK, and I'm married to a monocultural husband. So I thought it was interesting.
Super, super. Just putting you on the spot, you know.
Yeah, not a TCK, not married, but I'm a counselor, and so I work with a lot of TCKs who are married, and so just, yeah, wanting more perspective.
Super. Maybe one last from the back. Why your motivation for coming to this workshop? Anyone would like to share?
I think it is an important issue, and I want to listen to you and to the group.
Super. Yeah? Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Yeah, I think for this workshop, I would love us to put ourselves into what we came for. Is it with a son and a daughter in mind? Is it because our relationships around us that we're counseling are struggling? Is it because we want to know what it's like to have a thriving marriage? Is it because we're in an early marriage situation or counseling people in an early marriage situation? And according to that, I'll have you stand up and reshuffle according to the table that fits what you're after most. So this is pre-marriage here, maybe counseling, TCKs, getting into a relationship, or monocultures, cultural people, individuals, wanting to dive into the adventure of being married to a third culture kid. Early marriage, we'll put right here. Early marriage, struggling marriages, no pressure. And thriving marriages, what are the markers of a thriving marriage? So feel free to get up, mind the very hot bowl. What fits you most? Who you serve or why you came. Table's too small for pre-marriage. Oh, that's awesome. Okay, more chairs. More chairs. Just mind the hot water, please. Is everyone comfortable? What's been interesting over the last few years is that we have been speaking more and more about intercultural marriages in the sense of cross-cultural, maybe multinational, interracial marriages. So there are more and more resources available for interracial marriages, are they the same as TCK marriages? Are they the same? They share a lot of the same things as interracial marriages, right? But they might look different, they might or might not. So you have a difference in front of you. Some TCK marriages, you look at two people and they look the same, right? I'm just gonna stick it in my experiment bowl here, make sure this is working out for me, and if anything pops out, I would love to share my story a little bit in how it relates to third culture kids in marriage. My story could be your story, but I think the way I see my marriage, it has all these little obstacles, all these little high points and low points, a lot related to my story. And I feel as if the earlier you deal with your story, you accept it, you take ownership for it, like Christian said the other day, the better our marriages can be. And marriages affect everything, right? They affect how we raise our kids, how we're in society, how we feel loved, how we thrive. Okay, so my story started out, my dad is American, my mom is British, and I was born in Lausanne, Switzerland. My parents were working at the time in YWAM. So I spent my first 2 years on the Anastasis ship, if anyone remembers that. Those beginning years. This was, if anyone knows this story, it was like this miraculous provision of these fish that had jumped onto the boat. A community, a faith community. We grew up on that ship. This is in Athens, Greece, with my older brother. Yeah. Yeah. And we spent 2 years on the ship, and my dad decided to go to Fuller Seminary in California in the States. So we left the ship. My parents started to make a life in the States. A few years after that, as he had been dealing with cross-cultural issues in the States, he came home one day and he sat the family down and he said, I feel like God is calling us to the Francophone world. And this is a baby boomer speaking. And he said, I want you to know that we are going to move to France in a few months. And we will live there and we will die there. And that was how he viewed it. It was not 2 years and we can make a decision. It is God has called us to this place. So we moved to France. Don't think, you know, Paris flashing lights, these kind of things. This was our community. Our first community was a Sri Lankan Tamil community. This is me, in case you didn't know. We had multiple ethnicities that we worked with, and this shaped my worldview. This was another one of our churches a few years later. Here I was doing Sunday school, this cutie in purple, a little awkward by that stage. More recently, my parents have been working with North Africans. So in France. So it's I think this is important because it's not just, we are not just where we go. All of those people from different cultures shape us. I bounced around, but I think my roots were still in France. I spent 16 years there before studying in the UK. And coming back to France to do a graduate degree, a master's degree. had my first job in Geneva, Switzerland, working at an advertising agency from morning until night. Very kind of, in terms of morals, anything goes. There was no way I was going to meet a spouse there. No way. I got a call from one of my friends at uni saying, there's this conference being organized in Malaysia, and they're looking for someone to interpret the French people coming. I said, okay, well, I have a full-time job. I can't really give up that time. Okay, we'll talk later. He called three times, and on the third time, it's always the French that don't have their act together, right? Do you think you could come? We really would love you to come. So I went and interpreted for the French population there. This was a makeshift translation booth. It was something called the Lausanne Movement for World Evangelization. I had no idea what this was about. You know, I was an advertising agency, what was this about? And we debriefed with the speakers every day. Each interpreter of each language said, okay, what are you going to share? I'm going to take these notes and be able to present something to our people. And the chairman, I just ran into him and I said, that first session was so crazy. You used all these Americanisms. You spoke like a machine gun. If you really want to get your message across to my people, you're going to need to slow down a little bit. And this young man turns and looks at this feisty girl. Apparently, they don't speak like that in the States so much. He noticed me. Okay. Here's Andrew. He was invited to speak, and when he spoke, it was something I'd never experienced in the advertising agency. He had so much passion for Jesus. He had his eyes on him, and you could see it. He had been fasting all day, I found out later, and he was sharing about how this comment, how the whole nation comes together, like all these different nations at this conference, to share the gospel and how that had transformed his life. I got to know him a little bit later. He made a point of coming to the interpreters to do little snippets in their little journal. You know how they used to do like a newspaper for each day. And I said, so, where are you from? And he said, I'm from the States. Oh, I mean, he could have said anything else, but the fact that he said he was from the States just was this defeat. Because for me, in order to be fully living my life, I had left that aside. And I thought if ever I was to be involved with him, that would mean dealing with some things that I hadn't dealt with. So I said, are you at least a missionary in China, something? He's like, no, I just live in the States. And I was so, I guess, conflicted. I'd never met someone so amazing and so deep and thoughtful and handsome and loving Jesus and all those things. He left to the States, and I left back to France, where I was living, commuting into Geneva. And he, on his side, had similar feelings of defeat. This girl, she's apparently American, but she lives in France, and this is like 9 time zones away, and is this going to go somewhere or not? We had lots of conversation over Skype in the early days of Skype video, maybe the first few months, I'm not sure. where he would say, hey, you know, can you Skype at such a time? And I'm thinking, it's 4 a.m. He has no idea. I'm like, oh yeah, sure, sure. And I kind of like, you know, shower up and get ready for this Skype call. And then I had two phones. I had a French phone, a Swiss phone to go over the border. And I'd call him, you know, he'd call on the French phone. And, oh no, now you have to call my Swiss phone. For him, it's just like this world of, this is so foreign. My work took me to New York. And he said, you know what? I would love to get to know you more and kind of visit you during your work trip. Would that be okay? And I said, of course, of course. I mean, it's the same country. I mean, you wouldn't make the trip. And for me, I had no concept of the distances in the States. Okay, no concept, 5-hour flight. And I'm like, of course. So in New York, he said, I am crazy about you. And I think if this relationship is gonna go further, one of us is gonna have to move. And I'm thinking, oh gosh, no, I promised God I would never move. No, I'm my life is thriving. Okay? I'm making good money. I'm traveling. I'm using all my languages. This is who I have been made to be. I didn't tell him that. And he said, I feel like God's saying that I should be the one moving. I said, okay, sure. No commitment on me. Fantastic. And so within a few months, so we met in, I want to say, end of September. And by January, he moved to France on his own in a little apartment. Meanwhile, people at my advertising agency said he's living in his own apartment. Like, what are you're getting to know each other to get married? He's living in his own apartment. Again, that me marriage, you know, what do I have in it, you know, versus respecting one another. We had a great time getting to know each other. But we knew nothing about each other. We knew everything on a head level. I knew everything he thought about Calvin. I knew anything he thought about John Stott. I had all that together. I knew pretty much his worldview. But I had no idea if he liked cheese. I had no idea what he ate. The first day, I think in advance, I had said, do you like cheese? He said, I love cheese. I said, really? Okay. So in advance of him arriving at the airport in January, I went to the casino and I found I remember going on the aisle, no, that's not stinky enough, that's not pungent enough, that's not sticky enough, that's not moldy enough. And I found the most beautiful cheese, that one of the ones that you have to scoop out with a spoon. You know, the top, it kind of feels like a peach maybe, or maybe like it's been sticking in the fridge for a while. And we had, I think, a quiche and a little salad, you know, simple, and then cheese. And he looked at that and he said, wow, I was kind of thinking cheddar. And that image defined our relationship. And we were both bloggers at the time, and we started a new blog called whatischeese.com because it defined everything about our assumptions about one another. And if you see here, okay, those TCKs, we looked like we were from the same ethnicity, but two different animals came out, you know? We got married, not without some tension from both parents, both sides. We wanted to wait to announce our engagement until the in-laws had flown over. We thought that was a sign of respect. And his parents came over, and we said, well, we're getting married. And his mother screamed and said, this is the death of a dream. Because being married to to that girl, I'm going to lose my son. You're probably going to have a wedding on the, in this side of the world. And I'm like, you're damn right. I want to invite my friends. And thus ensued a year of engagement that was so painful. There was a time where his mother would be calling and calling, and father, and trying to have these kind of, you know, are you sure about this girl? And one day I'm like, I'm done. If you really want this, you're gonna have to run after me. And I ran across the bridge. It shows you the emotion. I wasn't humble in this, but I was in pain. And I ran across this bridge, and he ran after me. He said, what's this about? And I said, well, we gotta choose our loyalties. Like, are you still wanting to be with your mom, or are you wanting to be in a new relationship? And I know we all come from different perspectives. I think here we have parents here that are kind of feeling it on the other side. And I did not have grace for that. I liked how, I like that idea of taking ownership for our past. I think we're very often likely to say, come live up to my standards, my life. We got married 2 days before the wedding. All the bachelor party arrived. So I knew Andrew, but I did not know his friends. And I saw his friends, and I'm thinking, I'm not one of them. They're loud. They wear baggy clothes. Like, they don't know food. Like, what, really? And then we had the tension with the parents, and in the middle of the bachelor party, I called him and I said, I don't think I can do this. This is not me. By taking on your name, what does that mean about me? And he said to his friends, I'm so sorry, like, got a situation. You guys keep having the bachelor party, and he came back, and we chatted about it, and I said, by taking on your name, you know what this means, right? This means that we're one, but I don't really like a lot of you. And this is judgmental, and I think it does show the state of the heart, right? And I said, but I don't want to lay down my heritage, my legacy. I don't have any aspiration to ever live in America in my life. Is that clear to you? And we prayed about it. He worked through it. And he was like Jesus. And I'm so blessed that he was able to wash my feet and serve me in that way and say, you know what? I can have fun with my friends. It's more important that we decide if we're really going to get married or not. So we had this wedding, wonderful wedding in Switzerland. We were living in France, so we had the legal ceremony in Switzerland, and then the religious ceremony in Roll. Everyone's smiling and laughing, and there's a lot of emotion behind that. I didn't want bridesmaids. I wanted just two, just to sign a document. That's fine. Didn't want them having matching clothes. Just felt too much about it. It felt like giving in, and I think, on retrospect, and I think it would have been okay. But it felt like selling into something who I was not. I didn't want a cake. I didn't want the dance. Felt like weddings should be us. And I think every couple tries to reinvent the idea of the wedding ceremony. But it was a trilingual ceremony, and I was really proud about that, and kind of, you know, show the Americans coming, and you know, what our life is really like, and a lot of pride, guys, a lot of pride. So much so that we met a Franco-American couple that said, you know, just in all humility, we think you could do really well living somewhere else, somewhere that's not in her country and not in his country. I think you might need some time to grow strong together. And so we decided to go to China. We moved to China. This is a bit cliche, but we went to China. And it didn't, it sounds romantic. It sounds so romantic. We read The Lonely Planet on the airplane. We had sold all of our things. My parents were very against it. But it was important. It was important to leave and to cleave. And we had this one groundbreaking experience. This is not the expat life in China, okay? We were living with Chinese people, not speaking any Chinese. We both went to language school there because we realized we weren't going to get by at all without learning some language. And we had this really defining moment, and it was in a Carrefour in China, grocery store. And I'm assuming Carrefour is the same everywhere. You know, you buy your cheese, you buy your... It's a French store, right? We went into this Carrefour time after time and left with this headache, the stench of the fish, the loudspeakers, people bumping into you all the time. And I get to the cheese aisle. And the cost of the cheese. This is not a thing eaten by Chinese people. And Andrew comes in from another aisle, just like, I need to breathe. And it was like we, in that moment, fell into each other's arms and said, your culture wasn't so bad after all. And I said, I'd have a quesadilla any day. China was wonderful. It was a wonderful experience for us. It was hard. It was hard. We couldn't even say our address. And we left with so many friends. This is our house on Yan'an Si Lu and Ding Si Lu. And yeah, we look so young, oh my goodness. Okay, 2 years later, we get to a point where Andrew said, you know, I'm feeling like we need a change. I think we're ready for it. And I said, me too. Me too. Maybe this is the first time we're ever in agreement. And he said, yeah, I was just thinking of moving somewhere else. I said, yeah, me too. And he said, I was thinking of a little more Western comforts. I, on the other hand, I had spent 800 hours learning Chinese. I was ready to go into a village. See, these TCK dynamics, they never really leave. They kind of pop up in different times. Oh, honey, really? After all that we've gone through, we went through marriage counseling in China because I couldn't face picking up the phone to his family. He couldn't face other things about my family. We drew a list of pros and cons of different cities where we were going to move to. He added Vancouver and London, and I said, let's be honest, are you putting that down for me? He goes, yeah. I said, okay. Where are you really wanting to move? And he said, well, I'm a guy who loves heart-to-heart communication. Communication is in my bones. Discipleship is in my bones. I think we should move back to the States. I hadn't lived in America for 20 years. 20 years. There was nothing about me except my accent that was American. And I think sometimes in marriage, we have to come to a point where we lay something down for the other to thrive. It's not always the case. But in this case, he said, we're moving. And I... it was so hard. By that time, I felt Chinese. You know what we're like, you know. We got on the plane, and he said, I encourage you. You process the good, the bad, the ugly about moving. I don't care what you say. Read it to me. It doesn't hurt me. You've got to be able to process this. So I get on the plane. We sold all our things. The behind the scenes of this is this was actually Christmas, but we gave everyone our things. We said, if you come to our goodbye party, we're going to give you like all the things that we bought again right later in IKEA. So we moved to the States, and we found cheese. And Andrew said, I think we need to live downtown. We need to live downtown just for you to be able to survive with some sort of multicultural life. I said, thank you, honey. Well, we were in Denver, Colorado. It's pretty white. And this photo has so much significance for me. This is a homeless man, but here I am, okay, in our loft apartment downtown. And we were kind of right at the stoplight, a couple levels up. And I was so afraid to go outside. I was so afraid to go outside because the world looked like this. Like there's not enough space in the car for the cooler. I was still working for an urban design company that I had been working for in Shanghai. And I was still on the time zones of Shanghai, and I was still living there. I couldn't bring myself to live in the States. We went through a transition seminar. I was too old by that point. I was in my 30s, so too old by that point to be in a transition seminar for high school or college. But they said, come along as staff, and Andrew said, well, I'd love to join too. Again, like, I want to know, what makes you tick? And he said, in that week, I met 50 Esthers. They're all like you. And he loved it. And these little kids came up saying, can we get married one day to someone like you? It was a beautiful time. We wanted kids pretty badly. And I think by the grace of God, we didn't have any for quite a few years, 5 years or so. Because I think I was still dealing with things that would be passed on to my kids. And I think in many ways there are still things that we pass on to our kids. Judgment of value. I had my first kid here, Josiah. And by that point we started, I think when you have kids, you start making different friends. Friends that are pregnant around the same time as you, eventually parents that have similar kids' age to go to school with. But I was still a TCK mother. Still, some part of me was not thriving. And I was so down, and Andrew said, you know, I've just been Googling, and I heard there's like this Chinese church we could go to. Would you want that? I'm like, yeah, I don't want to go to a me generation church, all like my same age worship. I don't want that. Yes. So we went to this Chinese church. Here's my son. And it was wonderful. I felt like I was home. You'd have Chinese newcomers, second, third generation, whatever, saying, oh, you know what? Welcome, what brings you here? I'm like, well, I've been here for quite a while. What about you? You know, just this kind of, we felt part of that community. Along came joy. This is Chinese New Year. And then came Nathaniel. And those were beautiful, beautiful days. Because at the end of the day, monoculturals, no matter where they come from, they have the same core needs as we do. And by acknowledging that, you get to know people that have so much to give to you. And I loved, end up loving the States and our time there. It took probably 3 years to kind of even get out there. 3 years after that, it was hard to leave. We took our kids back to China. It was a blast. It felt like coming full circle, bringing the kids into that. And then Andrew said, I think our life is getting a little crazy with the kids. There's no childcare. There's no school that's cheap. Language is going to be an issue. I want to slow down our rhythms. I want to experience Sabbath. I want to know what it's like to, you know, not have a soccer parent, soccer mom attitude towards our raising our kids. I think it's time to move, and I was considering moving to France. What? I was shocked. I think I idealized this place, but I'd never been there as a parent. Not really as a functioning adult either. And I said, well, that's all fine, but once you bring your kids, it's a whole different thing. So what, we put our kids in French school, and what if it's like me growing up and it kind of breaks their spirit? You know, different dynamics. Okay. We ended up moving. Again, him leading in this. And he was thrilled, and I was terrified. This is the first day, or one of the first days, we moved into our garden. This is our garden, looking from our farmhouse. Miraculous story about how that came into place. This is our treehouse. Raising TCKs now. Lots of ups and downs. And we're still fighting for our marriage, fighting to outserve one another. Yeah. This is them today, having breakfast outside. Yeah. My kids now are TCKs. And I think for their sake, it's worth diving into the topic of TCKs in marriage. I took these kids back to the States after a year and a half, and I gave them each a notebook. I said, what do you observe? What's different? And he says, this is he was probably five at the time. The streets are so big, Mama. There's pickup trucks everywhere, police everywhere. Brr, the ice is so cold. Everyone says, hi. There's flags everywhere. Look, there's churches everywhere. Pumpkins, it was October, obviously. They're TCKs, right? They're already noticing this. Yeah, Morocco. So, to end my story, it's an ongoing story. I sent out this survey to a couple of my friends and said, look, you're OTCKs getting together. I can't just share my story. Some people have been married for 45 years. What do I have to say? Tell me about your marriage. What do you struggle with? What is the best thing about being married to a monocultural person or a TCK? Do you have any thoughts about it? Oh my goodness, the thoughts. So this survey started to be circulated around and around. Maybe some of you have filled it out. And I've received 350 responses or so. So it's not enough to make a scientific research document out of it. But there are some really cool observations. And put your thinking caps on in terms of experts in your area or learners in your area. And I asked them, how old are you? And we had a good, portion of the population that was 40 to 60. The majority were 25 to 39. And then we had a few other responses. I asked them how long they had been married, where they had lived, and what was their situation about being married. Were they married to a third culture kid, to a monocultural spouse? Are they divorced? Are they remarried? Are they looking into being in a relationship? 'TCK said the best thing about being married to a monocultural spouse is, man, they have friends. They have friends that know them so well. They have a strong relationship to their family, a sense of belonging. They understand their culture. They can explain where they've come from, at least. They know who they are rooted. And on the other hand, TCKs married to monoculturals said, when asked about their challenges, they felt like, my way is kind of best. I've kind of experienced more. That was my approach. Not understanding how the other person was raised and why it was important to them. This one was not written by me, but came up again and again. I feel like if I moved away, his parents would think I'm taking their son away. Cultural clashes in raising kids. Having to sacrifice where you're going to live. The feeling of being trapped. Homesick for the road. TCKs married to other TCKs said the best thing about being married to another TCK is they get it. I don't have to explain myself. When I get the itch, everyone knows why. We're kind of even. We both want to raise our kids multilingually. Now, these are things that I've taken, extracted. This is not what everyone is saying, but if I saw something came up 10, 15, 20 times, I'd add it to this slide. My spouse doesn't have a problem with my restlessness. I don't have to explain myself. We're rooted, but in one another. We're not afraid of taking risks. But when asked about their greatest challenge, we know about the highest, right? TCKs married to TCKs said, well, people can't really relate to us. We're kind of these oddballs that never kind of fit in. Where do we belong? We don't know. Where should we live? Don't know. Some had expressed family expectations, maybe of living the cross-cultural life. We both have passport culture judgment. And when you're a TCK with the same passport, it's double trouble. We feel isolated, far from friends and family, because we love to move. Okay. So this is like my husband talking about me. So monocultural spouse, being married to a TCK. They're not afraid of new things. They have a broad worldview. They've got loads of friends that pop up everywhere. They've got this sense of adventure. They're flexible. They might or might not speak a lot of languages. They're so refreshing and down to earth. They love food, lots of different types of foods. But in terms of the challenges, well, they kind of choose which culture backs up their own view. They're a little awkward in my passport culture. My spouse doesn't know how to laugh. Language inequality. That came up a lot. We don't understand. Our worldviews are still different. expectation of the family on the TCK side, on the monocultural. That would be like, you know, why are you marrying a monocultural? This is like it's marrying someone who has no clue about our life. So the greatest pitfalls of TCKs in marriage, I mean, unfortunately, I left the answer open, and that was a mistake, because you can see there's about 120 other answers, just individual answers that don't fit these categories. But this fear of intimacy or abandonment is worth looking at. We're afraid of getting close to these people. And I think that is probably more the case for highly mobile TCKs, possibly. Restlessness and cultural wars. I've been through a couple of those. So you ask these people, what is it? How do you avoid your marriage, your cross-cultural marriage, from being a constant fight of my upbringing versus yours? Some said, honestly, we avoid it. We avoid fights, we talk about other things. The number of people who answered that was shocking, because it's easier in the short term. We try to be fair, said someone else. Each family gets equal time and equal, we're very exacting. You have your traditions, I have my traditions. We choose our battles. Kind of focus on our similarities, again, avoidance, right? We don't assume, we communicate, we compromise. Is there another way? Other people said, I know I'm gonna go a little bit faster here, but another people said, I wanna give you a time to discuss, but like us, they lived in a third culture, or they traveled at least to their spouse's culture. Difficult, but embracing the other's culture as if it were completely new and foreign to be discovered. That's putting on our glasses and saying, okay, we are not the same. I'm going to put on my accepting glasses, just like I do for all the other countries I visit. Being lighthearted and flexible, and humility. And taking these things before the Lord when there is a concept of faith. And I love in John 15 how we're taught about the vine and how we can do nothing without staying close to him. In our moments of deepest doubt, hardest times, we just run to Jesus. He put us together. He knows our hurt longings. How can monoculturals understand a TCK spouse? The number of people who said, just read the book. Guys, there's more than the book. Travel, learn the language. Nothing can replace being in that culture. Live abroad together, raise your own TCKs. Well, let's deal with our issues first. How can TCKs understand the monocultural spouse? Your spouse as a person, not as a passport. And for those of you choosing your spouse still, choose the person before the country. Because it's much harder to find someone who's going to love and serve Jesus and serve your family than it is to find the right mix of passports. This is a cool example of a couple. This was the one on the first slide. She grew up in maybe Niger, and they've got their two sands. This is the sand from where she grew up, and this is sand from his sandbox in the States, and they mixed it up at their wedding. Really beautiful picture. Honor both backgrounds, even if one is more boring in your eyes, TCKs. Get to know their family, be curious. Okay, and then we ask for relational tips. and you can read through them. I'll just pick a few out. Don't skip premarital counseling. Try to find someone who is cross-culturally minded, right? Choose the person, not the culture. But TCKs, we need to work on our pride. Don't think our culture is superior. I think I've thought that a lot. It will really hurt your relationship. Work on your core tensions before the kids come. These are not from me. These are from, again, from the survey. Get to know each other culturally and see if you're compatible. How do you do that? I don't know. Assume your marriage is a cross-cultural one until proven otherwise. This is very key. Okay, I'll let you take that picture. And then, since that survey, since those hundreds of responses came in, I kind of established 10 trends based on that survey. I'm going to blow through them and then hand it over to you. Third culture kids find comfort in their monocultural spouse's rootedness. It was pretty across the board. People could agree with that. Third culture kids married to third culture kids, it's fantastic. But guess what? They're kindred spirits, but they face grief times two. It's not always easier. Monoculturals, a lot of them, just love their spouses. Broad worldview. Another trend was, how do you keep your cross-cultural marriage from being a constant fight? Two groups. One group, avoidance. One group, pressing in. About 50-50. Worth thinking about. Monoculturals can best understand their TCK spouse by entering into the third culture experience together. Living in a third culture, raising third culture kids. I don't know if that's always the answer, but that was a trend that came up. And TCKs can best understand their monocultural spouse by getting to know the family. Try to walk in their shoes. And I think for any marriage, this is valid. Communication, respect, forgiveness are pretty critical. And they're kind of lost arts. In a way, I don't know if you've read Tim Keller's book on marriage, but there's one point he talks about the me marriage and how marriage has changed from distinct roles that we have. And also this work ethic, this idea of serving, out-serving one another. And now we want to make sure that we're thriving. Am I coming alive in that relationship? Because if not, I'm out. This one is really on my heart. There are very few resources available for struggling TCK marriages. Again, quite a few coming out for interracial marriages, and a lot of things can be applied to the TCK in marriage. But I have thrown this out there. I threw it out to the International Therapist Directory. They've got a forum. And even there, people are thinking, well, actually, we do not have that many resources. So in the struggling marriages, you can think, maybe you can counter that. To the TCK wanting to be in a relationship, settle into the country first. Don't dive into a relationship. Choose the person before the culture. And then, really, really cool, I like this one, because it's some hopeful side. Right, we're always talking about TCKs, oh, what was me? No, after 10 years, those who have really wrestled with their conflict, after 10 years, you can take a slice of those answers. And after 10 to 15 years, marriage grows up. We're not like at each other's throats about are we eating a quesadilla or foie gras? No, We're thinking about aging parents. We're thinking about our kids' faith. We're thinking about where we're going to work, where we're going to live, where we're going to die. Different things. And the TCK is part of our DNA. All right. So we have four groups here. And I would love each group to look at one of these questions. I've got a handout for each of you. Maybe, you know, actually you might have to share a few of them. And for the TCK wanting to be married, that's this group here, I would love you to look at some of the prompts, some of the survey answers. If you have more conversation to add to that, feel free. But the question to you is, how best can we, as parents, as counselors, come alongside the TCK wanting to be in a marriage relationship? So you can look at those. I hope there's enough. For the early marriage breakout group, what does it look like to create your own culture in your marriage? For those in struggling relationships, we're going to say, what would you include in a toolkit? If you had to give a toolkit for struggling marriages, think about marriages that are struggling in your mind, struggling TCK marriages. And for the thriving marriages breakout group, what are the markers of a thriving marriage? So we'll give you just a couple minutes to talk, and then we can kind of exchange. So why don't you skip over to the question on the other side in because of time, okay? Get chatting about it. Let's plow through, let's say 5 minutes so we can have enough time that we have the interesting ideas that can cross-pollinate a little bit. Okay. All right, so how do we come alongside the TCK who really wants to be in a marriage situation, married? Any ideas? Over to you. Is it on? There you go.
Okay. Well, for one, we said that it's interesting that marriage in general is not perfect and is difficult. And we also thought about what Jackie said this morning, that marriage is often idolized. And so marriages can have different difficulties depending on, TCK marrying TCK, as we saw, they have their own issues that maybe others don't have, but at the same time, non-TCKs marrying non-TCKs also have difficulties in marriage. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Good. Any other ways, specific ways, concrete?
Visiting the TCKs.
I'm going to pass along the mic maybe, yeah.
Yeah, visiting the TCK's culture, the mono person, that would help a lot. It's eye-opening.
Yeah. Good one. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Getting to know yourself before you get to know someone else.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. That is true. I mean, but so many people get, especially Christians, they get married at 20. Uh-huh. Especially women are pushed to this. Yeah, well, that's your calling. And then you're seen as a nun if you're not married by 30.
Right.
So.
Be okay with friendship, maybe.
Yeah, but so many things happen in your early 20s, and it's difficult to do it on your own, but if you have someone else who has not done it either, mm-hmm. and then two different cultures, that's a mess.
It is. It is. These are just thoughts for inspiration. We can talk about it more. How about ideas for creating your own culture in your marriage? What does that look like? What could that look like?
Did we think of any ideas? Oh yeah, we said communication is key. That's what you shared as well. She was very impressed with how her daughter and son-in-law are communicating through many difficult situations, and that finances is one of the big thing, dealing with finances from a TCK point of view and a monoculture point of view. Mm-hmm. After being married 14 years with a monoculture person, that is still our biggest fight.
Okay.
So that is one thing that you might talk about.
Uh-huh.
And what else do we say? Oh, yeah, visiting the other cultures is important in early marriage as well, mm-hmm. not just pre-marriage. Mm-hmm. What else did we say?
The comment that you made that marriage is cross-cultural until proven otherwise is a very helpful one.
Yes, yes, exactly. Okay, I think this idea, this really deserves more time, thinking about creating our own culture in our marriage. So you had some ideas there, but I think, you know, let's think about what does that look like? Neither from my background nor from his, what does our new culture look like? How are we intentional about that?
Having celebrating birthdays, finding a balance between,
oh, we used to do it this way and that way. And that's also within a monocultural relationship, I think, but even more so in a TCK, because celebrating milestones is important.
Right.
And sometimes more important for a TCK. So maybe that's one of the things that you could find a common culture.
Good. Okay, let's move it over to the struggling marriages. That's not meaning your marriages are struggling, but ideas.
We've got a book list, which I'll write up.
Super. So
apart from that, we talked about good preparation beforehand and the role of the extended family. But there's Lois Bouchon's book, Belonging Everywhere and Nowhere. Yep. There's Love Across Latitudes, which is a workbook for cross-cultural marriage. In Love But Worlds Apart, which is another one. And there's a chapter in the Family and Mission Survey, which is all about marriage, which talks about marriage as a cure for rootlessness, abandonment, and the TCKs who are saviors, who marry somebody that's in need.
Yes.
And so that's a really good resource that you can get. There's probably more, certainly I've got a book list. But
that's fantastic. Probably more than the listserv came up with the ITD. But Lois Bouchon's book was mentioned there as well. Thank you so much, Marion. Okay. So what does it look like to have a thriving TCK marriage?
Okay. I'm the one with the mic, so I have to talk about it. I mean, we didn't talk about very TCK-specific things. I mean, we talked about things that are important for every relationship. Let's say, for example, communication. In the TCK context, that might be interesting because maybe you would say something, but the other one would understand it differently. So also, as you said, putting on the glasses of the other person.
Yeah.
We both at the beginning, because we're both TCKs and married, we thought, well, we're not as much German or Chinese or Panamanian as we thought, but being married, we realized that we were more... German, or in some areas more Chinese or more Panamanian than we actually thought. Not being proud about our own beliefs or whatever we think is right, but also saying sorry and trying to understand the other position. What is that? Oh, having a good network of friends, which you can also have to speak to in case you're, I don't know.
It's very important to have our own friends and not just having common friends.
Yeah.
Makes sense? Yes, and also getting to know the other partners, friends and family. Yeah.
Okay.
Also,
but what does a thriving relationship, third culture relationship, look like?
We didn't talk about it. We just talk what help, like, keep the relationship thriving. Do you have any idea?
Gets better as you get older.
Yeah, good. You know, on that note, can't go. Oh, look, this is the bell. All right, well, thank you for coming. We could probably discuss for hours and hours on this topic. Feel free to swap or take your, you know, keep on thinking about this, your own topics, but we can chat later.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So welcome. Yeah.